She didn't go to New York to meet Jeffrey Epstein. She went because a man with an office in Sao Paulo told her she had the kind of face that belonged in magazines. That sentence, its ordinary promise, its replicable structure, its thousand variations across a dozen countries over three decades, is the sentence that connects Brazil to one of the most extensively documented systems of sexual exploitation in modern legal history. You need to hear the sentence for what it is, not for what it appeared to be in the moment she heard it. In March of 2026, the BBC published testimony from Brazilian women who described in detail how a Sao Paulo-based modeling agent had used his businesses, talent scouting operations, legitimate-seeming commercial entities to identify young women, establish professional relationships with them, and ultimately arrange the paperwork that would bring them to the United States on legal visas. The women who came forward did not travel to New York as victims. They traveled as hopeful young women who had been told they were about to begin something. The violation, when it arrived inside the promise that had been made. Jeffrey Epstein died by suicide in a federal detention facility in August of 2019. He was awaiting trial on charges of sex trafficking and conspiracy to commit sex trafficking. The women who describe being brought to him in the years before his arrest have been giving testimony in multiple jurisdictions since before his death. The British Virgin Islands, France, the United Kingdom, several U.S. states. Each new wave of testimony expands the documented geography of the network. Brazil is not a surprise. Brazil is a completion. The modeling industry's relationship to sex trafficking networks is not a discovery. It has been documented in academic literature, in court testimony, in the accounts of survivors, and in the findings of multiple federal investigations since the 1990s. The specific mechanism that makes the relationship functional, the aspirational framework, the legitimizing infrastructure of the talent agency, the professional vocabulary that reframes exploitation as opportunity, has been described with clinical precision by researchers in trafficking prevention. What makes the Brazilian testimony significant is not that it reveals a new mechanism. It reveals the scale of the mechanism's geographic reach. It answers the question that the Epstein Network's survivors, advocates, and investigators have been asking since the full scope of the operation became documented in court files. How did so many women come from so many places? The answer, as the Brazilian testimony confirms, is that the geography was operational. The network had people in Paris, in London, in Sao Paulo, in smaller cities across Eastern Europe and South America. There were people with offices, business cards, and plausible authority, operating within established professional sectors, making the same pitch to young women who had the same reasonable hope of hearing it. The man at the center of the Brazilian operation, the figure the women describe as the intermediary who managed their recruitment and visa arrangements, has not been publicly named as of this report. That fact alone says something worth examining. Epstein's most prominent alleged co-conspirators are documented in court records, in civil judgments, in depositions, in the contents of his island property's visitor logs. The publicly known cases involve names that carry substantial social and institutional weight. What the Brazilian testimony begins to map, and what makes the international picture of the network more disturbing, not less, as it becomes clearer, is the layer of infrastructure that operated beneath those names. The people who did the administrative work, who made the calls, who processed the paperwork, who built the plausibility that made the promises seem credible. This layer of infrastructure, the talent scouts, the agents, the visa facilitators, the schedulers, has been the least thoroughly prosecuted element of Epstein's network because it is the most legally ambiguous. Arranging a visa for a young woman to travel to the United States is not, on its face, a crime. Introducing a young woman to a wealthy associate is not, on its face, a crime. The agents operated within legal structures precisely because the value they provided to the network was their ability to create legal transactions that served illegal purposes without themselves becoming directly prosecutable. The women who gave testimony to the BBC in March of 2026 understood something important about their own situation, something that is worth naming directly. They understood that the violation they experienced was not only Epstein's, it was the modeling agent's. The agent knew, or should have known, what the arrangements he was making were for. The young women he identified did not know. He did. The question of what the agent knew, and when he knew it, is the question that accountability requires the legal systems involved. The Brazilian system, the American system, the international framework of the Epstein legal proceedings to answer. Understanding why the Brazilian testimony matters requires sitting with a specific feature of how exploitation networks sustain themselves. They don't recruit victims, they recruit aspirants. There is a critical distinction. A victim knows they are in danger. An aspirant is moving towards something they want, with full agency, with hope, with the kind of motivated optimism that makes ordinary caution feel like self-sabotage. The exploitation network that understands this distinction, that is built around this distinction, does not look like a trap. It looks like a career. It looks like a visa appointment. It looks like a professional opportunity that you are lucky to have been selected for. The women who came to Jeffrey Epstein through the Brazilian modeling agent were not naive. They were making rational calculations within an information environment that had been deliberately structured to deceive them. This is not a defense of the network. It is an explanation of why the network was durable. Networks that recruit victims are easier to detect and disrupt. Networks that recruit aspirants can operate for decades because the aspirants don't report what happened to them until the public exposure creates a context where reporting is possible and survivable. The public exposure of Epstein's network created that context. The Brazilian testimony, arriving in 2026, 7 years after Epstein's arrest, 4 years after the most substantial related prosecution concluded, is a function of that context. These women are speaking because other women spoke first and survived it. The Epstein case produced two kinds of public attention that are worth distinguishing. There is the attention directed at the famous names associated with his social circle, the financiers, the politicians, the princes, the academics. That attention, whatever its ultimate legal consequence, has a media appetite and a celebrity infrastructure that makes it self-sustaining. And then there is the attention directed at the infrastructure, at the agents and the schedulers and the visa arrangers and the intermediaries in São Paulo and elsewhere who made the network logistically possible. That attention does not have a celebrity infrastructure. It is bureaucratic work carried out by survivors willing to name people who are not yet names in international headlines, in legal jurisdictions that have limited resources and complex extradition frameworks and institutions with their own reasons to move slowly. The Brazilian women who spoke to the BBC are doing the bureaucratic work. Their testimony does not produce immediate accountability. It produces documentation. It adds a node to the map. It provides the kind of granular institutional evidence that prosecutions require. Not the famous names, but the operative names, the ones who were present at the recruitment end, the ones who made the calls. In the years since Epstein's death, survivor advocates and legal observers have consistently identified the same gap in the accountability architecture, the question of the network's infrastructure, the non-famous operatives, the people who made the system run below the level of the principals whose names generate headlines. The Brazilian testimony is about that gap. She went to São Paulo because a man with an office told her she had a face that belonged in magazines. She is in front of a journalist now, in 2026, because the network that used her belief in her own potential as a mechanism of access has been partially but not completely prosecuted. She is still in the documentation phase. The accountability phase may be years away. The question she is asking by speaking, by naming the structure even when she cannot yet name all the names, is whether the legal systems that have had 7 years to follow the geography of the network are willing to follow it to Sao Paulo, whether the infrastructure that made Jeffrey Epstein's operation international, not just his name, but his agents and his intermediaries and the people who filled out the visa forms, will be treated as criminal or as peripheral, as cause or as paperwork. She did not fly to New York to be exploited. She flew to what she believed was the beginning of something real. The least the legal record owes her is the full accounting of how that belief was engineered, and by whom, and whether the engineering carries consequences,